It is Wednesday, September 29th. And it is also Mercury retrograde. So if you guys having trouble with your... Yeah, it is. If you guys are having trouble with computers, yesterday we had our internet go down towards the end of the show. Mercury retrograde is in the house. It is real. It absolutely affects stuff. So don't be too hard on yourself if you're having just all kinds of email problems, computer problems, tech problems, electrical problems. That's just what happens. So it is Wednesday, September 29th. On today's show, debt disaster. We're now roughly 24 hours away from a government shutdown. Will it be averted? What things are on the table? We have a bit of breaking news out of Washington this morning, which we will bring to you. The world's most dangerous man. Is that Fed Chief Jerome Powell? Is he the world's most dangerous man? That's what one senator called him yesterday. Well, not world's, but most dangerous man in America during a congressional testimony. We'll tell you which senator said that and why she said that. And here's a question for you. If you're a member of the Federal Reserve, should you be allowed to invest in stocks that you're currently funneling money to? Like pumping up? Like propping up? Well, they've been doing that, and they've been making millions of dollars off of it. That's the Federal Reserve. It's time to get uncomfortable. News that makes you uncomfortable. That's the only way you grow. Morning Invest starts right now. Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. He is David, our producer, in the old control booth.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We've got a great show lined up for you. Let's start this morning with the government shutdown, shall we? We are only one day away from a possible government shutdown and 19 days away from a debt default. So if you're keeping track at home, you know, it's not looking good.
I wish the government shutdown meant that the people got to run it. You know, it's like government shutting down. You guys go home. We'll take it from here.
No, but I did like Dan Price's comments. It's not going to happen, but I did like Dan Price's thoughts. Like, if the government shuts down, the first thing they should do is cut off all pay and health care to Congress members.
Oh, yeah. Where's the applaud button?
Right. Freeze their assets and make them go on Cobra and apply
and pay for it out of
food
their pocket.
Stamps. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And watch them suddenly get a deal done by lunch.
Yeah. God, I love every time I see that guy tweet, I love him more and more.
Yeah. And then I love this woman from Canada says, you know, what's interesting? Canada has a similar setup, but when their government closes, it's a vote of no confidence and everyone goes back for an election. And Ooh. What do you know? Canada's government has never shut down.
There is your alternative to term limits.
Right. Hey, you guys shut down. That means you guys lose your jobs. Well, anyway, last night there was some big breaking news that broke that will serve sort of as a blueprint for the next few days. So follow me on here. I haven't seen the mainstream media covering this at all, but it's going to likely help us to understand all of this and actually help avoid a government shutdown. So we could avoid this. However, it doesn't resolve the growing partisan showdown over the debt limit, which is 19 days away. Okay, so to be very clear, this is just for the government shutdown piece of this. I love how we keep separating these things out, right? So debt limit, bad, 19 days from now. Government shutdown could happen within 24 hours. And it won't do anything also about the internal Democratic feuding on this infrastructure bill and the reconciliation package. So that's still being fought, okay? That's still a totally separate animal. So in a bow to the inevitable, Senate Democrats are preparing to move a clean bill, which would be a two-month funding bill today. So Democrats could put forward what's known as a clean bill. All it'll do is it'll keep federal agencies open until December 3rd. So once again, kicking the frickin' can down the street to December 3rd.
Feels like that's all they know how to do.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
Every few months, why do we have and every December we have the same frickin' debate again. Come December, we have to then deal with the government shutdown again. And families of government employees are worried, well, are we going to be able to put food on the table during Christmas because these agencies are going to shut down right around Christmas holiday? That's what happens.
Well, and think about it. Like, they get us all riled up and everything. And it's like, it feels like there's somebody behind the scenes that's just like, this is going to make for great suspenseful TV. We'll tell them it's going to be shut down by December. Everybody's going to be freaking out. They're going to like be fighting, infighting with each other. And then it's not going to close down. Well, it's just like, it's their version of the filibuster. I keep saying this over and over and over again. It's like, mm-hmm. they're just not wanting to deal with the package that is going to help us. They're trying to just push it off as long as they can so that they can, you know, like you said, kick the can down the road. I hate it.
Yeah. This and system. They separate them out. This is what happens every time they pass a clean bill. So it's not tied to any legislation. So this bill is expected to get wide bipartisan support. Like Mitch McConnell will support it because it doesn't include any language on suspending the debt limit. So it's just focused on keeping the government open. So that Mitch McConnell and others can get behind, right? Fine. So they can get all behind this thing in that way. You know, and where's President Biden's leadership on this issue, by the way? I haven't seen him talking about this at all.
Come on, man.
Well, where have you been, man? I mean, seriously, like President of the United States, like get out there in front. Say we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, we've got to make sure that the government can stay open and take care of people.
Well, Clayton, that you know, argument. He's an older guy. He needs naps, lots of naps. So
apparently
he's probably napping.
See Fox News this weekend making fun of him for doing a bike ride. Like, I think that he is definitely old, right?
Yes.
You know, but like they're making fun of him for taking a bike ride. It's like, what elderly person do you know who you think like is literally about to die? Who's like, you know what? I'm going to go out and hit the trail. Like, no, they're like in bed with like morphine drips or something, you know?
And isn't there just a lot more that they could be critical of him for than something as stupid as taking a bike ride? Is that what this country is? I mean, it's like, I'm a journalist. Look, the president's going for a bike ride. Let's not get into anything with like deep or something meaningful.
No. We got to just make fun of him taking a bike ride. To be fair, think about all the times that the press made fun of Trump for taking bike rides and exercising.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
He didn't.
Yeah. Ride a- I do remember them making fun of him for ordering McDonald's, though.
That's true. I don't recall President Trump exercising.
I don't either.
Would you want to see him on a bike, by the way? No.
Wait, you know what? He actually did walk from the Capitol or from the White House to that church that day for that Bible picture.
Oh, right, to hold up the Bible thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's he was like, I need to go to bed early tonight. That was too much workout.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that fun. So Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and his GOP colleagues on Monday blocked the continuing resolution, okay, with a provision that would suspend the debt limit until December 2022. McConnell is demanding that Democrats use the reconciliation process to pass the debt limit and only use Democratic votes. Well, now we could have this framework that would create a clean bill. So we will see this afternoon whether or not we actually have a clean bill put forward by Democrats that just keeps government agencies open. But again, that deadline quickly approaching, again, tomorrow night at midnight, if they don't have something, and, you know, it's a game of chicken, because very often the party in power who's in the White House ends up being the ones that the American people blame if there's a government shutdown, you know, and that's just how it goes, typically. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Democrats run the show. You know, and it's going to be very hard to explain to the American people that Mitch McConnell is somehow to blame. When Democrats run the House, they run the Senate, they run the White House. So maybe President Biden could get out in front of this and make some comments about it and show some leadership on it.
Come on, man.
Maybe.
It'd be nice if somebody got out in front of it.
Somebody. So we'll have more on the debt limit tomorrow. Make sure you're also subscribed to our daily newsletter. We've been covering it in our daily newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com and subscribe, it's a totally free newsletter. Gets you informed first thing in the morning. Show of hands. How many here in the chat are subscribers to our daily newsletter? There's 3,100 of you watching in the chat, or 3,300 of you watching right now. How many of you, show of hands, are subscribed? Let me know. Show of hands. Just put up your hands. Show me emoji. And if you're not, come on, man. Come on, man.
What
go
are you
and
doing?
Subscribe. It's totally free.
I actually like it. I read that thing every single morning. I really do. And I would if I wasn't the big time producer.
I appreciate that. What was your favorite? Did you read it this morning?
I skimmed over it this morning because this is the first day I like actually got up and so I hit snooze a couple times.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know how that goes.
We had a funny story in there about the new Amazon. So here's the newsletter. Just go to this website, morninginvest.com. Just put in your email address. You'll receive a welcome email from me. We work really, really hard on it. So, and Amanda joined our team as a writer. So she's a great writer. While we've been dealing with crazy COVID house, the Morris house. So she's joined the team on the writing. So that's fantastic. We're doing a lot to expand the newsletter. So I'm excited about that. So go subscribe. But one of the stories.
I was excited about, I saw in the subject line, skinny jeans. And I was like, oh, hey.
Did you see this? One of the things we covered in the newsletter, by the way, just as a side note, is I don't know if you saw this or not, this ridiculous new Amazon. It's called Astro. It's a robot.
I did.
A robot?
Yes.
What are we going to do with a robot?
Well, Astro, follow me.
Hi, Grandma. I miss you.
I miss you, too. Hey, you got the toy I sent.
Yeah, I love it. Astro, follow me.
Cool. All right, Raisha.
Come on.
What do you think about this? I don't know if I want this.
I don't like, I could just see that thing. Like it was following that kid and it like runs over and pulls her sock off her foot because it gets wrapped up in the wheel.
Mommy, it's attacking me. Mommy, Astro's attacking me again. Hey, Grandpa, we got you an Astro because Grandma died last year. So
yeah,
here's Astro.
And we don't want to come over and hang out with you. So
yeah, we don't want to come and see how you're doing. So we've sent a robot to your house, Grandpa. Can you imagine Grover with this thing?
So,
you know,
Jennifer is a dog trainer. That's my roommate. And she uses the Roomba to get the dogs used to that kind of thing. So she actually lets it run intentionally when they're down there so that they get used to those distractions.
Yeah. I'd like to do that for Grover. Like, that'd be the only reason I would do it is like check in on Grover to see if he's just what is he doing, you know? And I'd launch this thing and be like, Grover. And he'd be like, what's going on? I thought you guys left to go to a restaurant again. I don't know. And the only other thing is it has like a little cargo area. You can like put a can of soda or a beer in it. And one of the use cases that they explain is like, hey, Astro, take this into the living room where my wife is. So like I could like send her a beer, like if she's in the other room, like
there's an R2 unit that can do that. Why wouldn't they? Like, that's what I would do. I would design an R2 unit that was actually like an R2 unit. You know what I mean? Give it some purpose. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Make it like be able to like fly spaceships and stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, this thing, look, the other here, honey, here's a beer. My husband or my wife are so lazy. I had to send a robot in to give them a beer. Thanks so much, Astro. Glad we spent $1,000 on this.
While he just stands in the kitchen and watches it do it because of the novelty of it instead of just walking it over themselves.
Right. Wow. So, yeah, for $1,000, you can get Astro.
$1,000.
$1,000.
Get on the waiting list.
Yeah, you have to get on a waiting list. It's like, I think they call it the, it's like a first or early adopters waiting list for. Now, look, I'm a tech guy. I love this kind of stuff. I cannot think of a reason why I would need a robot, you know? It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's
so, yeah, I just scrolled through the newsletter here over on the.
So that, yeah, there you go. There's the Morning Invest newsletter. So that's what one of the stories we covered in the newsletter today is Astro from Amazon.
Is that Mikkel? Is that, what's his name? Mikkel?
I don't know.
The guy from Soup or Community?
I'm not sure.
Looks like him.
Use that GIF to explain the craziness in our house right now. All right, we've got more news to get to today. We're going to talk about the Federal Reserve and who is the world's most or the America's most dangerous man. Is Fed Chief Jerome Powell the America's most dangerous man? Get to that story. in a second. But first, I want to tell you about a new sponsor on the show. I'm really excited about this. If you want to invest in crypto, let's say you've got, how many of you, just let me know in the chat, how many of you have an IRA or you have an old 401k that's just sitting there? Now, I personally am a huge, huge, huge fan of self-directed IRAs. Now, a self-directed IRA gives you full checkbook control of your retirement. That means you can invest in anything, crypto, real estate, inside of your IRA, and it grows tax-free. I'm a huge, huge fan of self-directed IRAs. Not the IRA that you get with Fidelity and that kind of stuff. That's not a truly self-directed IRA. No, a truly self-directed IRA. And the team at Alto IRA, I'm moving my IRA over to them because I can now invest in crypto using Alto IRA, and I can do it incredibly quickly with no commissions, no paperwork, all right from their app. That's how it works at Alto IRA. I'm really impressed with these guys. When I talked to them a few weeks ago, I said, no joke, I'm moving my IRA over to you immediately because I have an old antiquated IRA that like is stuck in the 1950s.
And just so you guys know, we always talk before the show, and he's not just saying that because he told me that before. He's like, I'm moving all my stuff over here. So that is, he's saying that off camera too.
Exactly. I'm not blowing smoke. So this is what you can do. You can get more out of your IRA. You want to buy real estate? Great. You can do it right there. I own real estate inside of my IRA. But now with crypto, you can do it very, very easily. You can easy way to put crypto in an IRA. Seriously, it's a game changer. Create a free account in just minutes. A free account. You can invest with as little as $10. No setup charges. Secure trading 24/7 through Alto's integration with Coinbase. So it's backed by Coinbase inside of the app. Coinbase, by the way, is the most secure exchange available. 60 plus coins available, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Cardano, and more. I mean, it's amazing. They have amazing encryption standards for wallets and privacy keys. Multiple ways to fund your account. You can make a cash contribution, transfer cash from an existing IRA, or roll over an old 401k.
So, Grim is asking in the chat, does it cost anything to transfer retirement from other sources to Alto?
It shouldn't. No, I don't believe. No, to transfer your IRA over shouldn't cost anything. And I'm doing that as we speak. I don't think there's any transaction fee for doing that. Shouldn't be, because there's no commissions and no paperwork. They pride themselves on like really low fees all around. So transferring your account from an existing retirement account, right there, you can do it. Number three on the list. See? Very, very easy. Multiple ways to fund your account. Open an Alto crypto IRA account with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/morning. Use that URL.
Can you explain what an IRA is really quick?
It's an individual retirement account, okay? And the way that you can contribute every year, you can contribute a certain amount, thousands of dollars per year to an IRA, okay? Pre-tax or post-tax, depending on which one you have. And then that account can grow tax-free. So imagine you buy imagine like I've got a self-directed IRA, okay? Let's say I've got $50,000 sitting in a self-directed IRA. What I can do with that $50,000 is that's a down payment on a rental property, okay? So now I buy the rental property inside of the self-directed IRA, and now the IRA owns the rental property technically. And as that cash flow from the tenants in that rental property comes in, all of that cash flow goes inside of the self-directed IRA, and it grows tax-free. I don't have to pay taxes on it. And so when I'm 59 and a half, I can take that money out and live off of that tax-free. It's a really, really powerful investing vehicle that most people don't know about. And you can contribute. You can set up IRAs for your kids, all of your family members. And there's a federal limit every year. So you should be making those contributions. And then that lowers your overall taxable income for your family as well. So your three-year-old, your one-year-old, you should be setting up self-directed IRAs, making contributions to that. That comes out of your pocket. That lowers your overall taxable income. So, you know, you could potentially, depending on how many kids you have, you could be setting up these IRAs and contributing that amount of money every year. Or, you know, just putting a little bit in it. You don't have to go crazy with it. Or, you know, transferring or rolling over one of your traditional retirement accounts. So Big, big fan, as you can tell. Again, altoira.com/morning. Go check them out. See if it's a fit for you. Get started for as little as $10. And imagine all of those crypto profits growing tax-free inside of a self-directed account. So Bitcoin goes up. You don't pay any taxes on that because it's inside of the self-directed IRA. It's a game changer. So our thanks to them for sponsoring the show and also for changing my IRA. I'm signing up. So thanks to them. All right, where are we in the show? All right, let's talk about the world's or the country's most dangerous man. Some fireworks in Congress yesterday as Fed Chief Jerome Powell came before the Senate to make a case, among other things, that he should serve another term at the Fed. Remember early on, when Janet Yellen's term, Treasury Secretary, people were asking, you know, hey, should Jerome Powell like have another term? You're good friends with him. And she say, hey, it's not really up to me. It's up to Congress. And she really didn't want to talk about it. Why? Well, because he's a conservative and he leads a Republican-led, conservative-led Federal Reserve, you know, that was put in place by Trump, basically. So you have this Federal Reserve that has been very favorable to big banks. Upwards of $120 billion a month in federal bailout money is going to these big banks. Very little regulation. We've rolled back regulation at these big banks.
Do you find it funny that they're saying that it's like very Republican leaning where, you know, if you look at even during Obama when they bailed out the banks, like has it ever not been in favor of banks?
Right. Right. No, it's always been that way. Right. It's an extension of the liquidity market. It's an extension of the of that market. Most of these guys come from that world. They all come from private equity. They come from, you know, the big banks.
It's like it's Wall Street's version of mom's purse.
Right. Yeah. By the way, mom's purse growing up, she had a little change dish that she had on the countertop by the windowsill. That's where I used to get some coins to go to the pool and buy a cheeseburger. So mommy's change dish was really good.
Yeah, my grandmother had a big Coca-Cola bottle that was full of quarters. So we'd just go grab, you know, a couple handful of quarters and off we'd go.
Right.
And she
Thank
never
you,
knew.
Mom's James purse. Yeah. Once every 10 years when you'd count them and take them to the bank. That was the worst. Oh, my God. Like once every 10 years, my mom, you know, they'd be like, all right, it's coin day. And we just put tons of pennies on the floor with those little roller things.
Oh my!
But you had to, you know, stuff them in there, and your fingers were covered in dirt from like all the roller paper that you had to. What a scam that was!
My grandmother used to get so angry because, like, if we were in her pennies, because she had wheat pennies in there, and she would be so mad if we took her wheat pennies.
Were they worth anything, or was just like a?
They're like worth 3 cents versus 1 cent.
By the way, it's hilarious because the 1 cent pennies aren't even worth 1 cent. I mean, they cost more to make than they're even worth.
Do they still make them?
Yeah, they still make pennies, but there's like no copper in them anymore. It's like an alloy, and they cost more to make. You know, there's no copper. It's amazing. Like we're like, these are copper pennies, Abe Lincoln, and they're not. They're like tin, and I don't know what else. Who the hell else knows?
I don't like admitting this, but I used to, like, if I had like 3 or 4 pennies in my pocket when I was pulling out my change, I'd just toss them on the ground.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's like money to you. You're just like, you know, money bags Foster over there. It's like, hey, pennies. Such a pain. So anyway, this was yesterday at the Federal Reserve, you know, and Jerome Powell was there making the case, I guess, that he should have another term. And also he was talking about the state of the economy. He was talking about Fed bailouts. He was talking about tapering. But he didn't have a very favorable audience in front of Senator Elizabeth Warren. So let's watch Senator Elizabeth Warren take him to task, calling him the most dangerous man in America.
Renominating you means gambling that for the next 5 years, a Republican majority at the Federal Reserve with a Republican chair who has regularly voted to deregulate Wall Street won't drive this economy over a financial cliff again. And with so many qualified candidates for this job, I just don't think that's a risk worth taking. Your record gives me grave concern. Over and over, you have acted to make our banking system less safe, and that makes you a dangerous man to head up the Fed, and it's why I will oppose your renomination.
Wow. By the way, I will say, she's got a lot of chutzpah. You know, like, that would be very difficult for me, I think, to be able to sit there and just say, and be able to look, stare down someone like that and be like, you know, I think you're very dangerous. I think you've been in cahoots with the big banks, funneling money to these big banks, lowering regulation. These big banks have been walking all over Americans. I think you're a dangerous man, and I'm not going to vote to have you have that job anymore. That's a hard thing to do. Like, good for her, you know? I mean, but she also, though, in his defense, didn't really put up any alternative. You know, what is the alternative here for the Fed? Like, one of the other things that we probably should really look at is eliminating the Fed, you know, getting rid of the Fed. And a Band-Aid solution is to what? Put someone in there who kind of puts the screws to big banks a little bit. I mean, what really is the Fed going to do? They're autonomous. I mean, they are run independently. They're not elected. They can do whatever they want.
Well, you remember pre, like, in the 70s and stuff, you heard more about the Treasury than the Fed. You hardly ever heard about the Fed. You know, it was like all the Treasury. And then all of a sudden, it's like it flipped and you never even hear the Treasury anymore. There's no talking about getting money from the Treasury, from Congress. It's all from the Fed now.
They've grown so powerful. They've grown incredibly powerful. I mean, and that's, you know, unfortunately, and they're really just a portion of Wall Street. They work in lockstep with Wall Street. And I'm going to show you some data. You know, this came up yesterday, really unbelievable. And you look at, if you think for a moment, oh, they're not in cahoots with Wall Street. They don't really have any kind of relationship with Wall Street. Well, we have new documents that were just released last week, and this came up yesterday, that revealed that Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, and among others, made multiple trades, stock trades, worth millions of dollars in the last year, including individual stocks like Apple, Amazon, Delta Airlines. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin, a former senior executive at a consulting firm, McKinsey & Company, disclosed several financial holdings in excess of $1 million. His stakes included Coca-Cola stock, worth more than $500,000. Barkin's largest holdings, worth $1 million or more, include all kinds of exchange-traded funds, mutual funds. He had, for example, holdings worth at least $1 million in Vanguard's energy fund. Admiral Shares, a mutual fund that invests in energy companies, including ConocoPhillips, Marathon Petroleum, BP. And then you have Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren. He held stakes in 4 real estate investment trusts, several purchases and sales of similar property, according owning vehicles, according to filings. Guess what? He also held stock in Pfizer, Chevron, AT&T. His investments were in the tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. The Fed, these documents reveal.
It's not like he's an elected official, so there's no oversight over what he does with his money, right?
I guess, right? I mean, so now they're like, some of them are stepping down. Kaplan stepping down, saying, you know, well, I don't like the sort of onerous rules that are involved here, you know? And Fed Chief Jerome Powell yesterday testifying, saying basically, we're looking into it. We're going to look into it. I mean, do any of you doubt for a second that these guys are, you know, making money hand over fist, abusing their office in a way, overseeing the exact... So they're pumping money to these companies, right? They're overseeing, making sure that Wall Street, these big companies, get millions of dollars in bailouts, and they're investing in those companies, and they stand to profit from those companies, that the very ones that they are funneling money to. Who is the Fed? Who are the Fed? Why are they allowed to run with such omnipotent power?
Well, and then you think about it, that makes perfect sense why it's not dealt with the Treasury anymore, because that we would see. Like, they can't hide what happens at the Treasury from us, because that's public information. The right. Fed being a private bank, they've not been audited. They do everything in the dark of night, completely non-transparent. Like, we have no idea what they're even holding. They've supposedly spent trillions or lost trillions of dollars dealing with Iraq stuff. Like, there's money that's just come up. Like, our money still goes there, but it's completely private and hidden from us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all in the dark because they're not elected officials. And so now you have the one of the two Fed officials announced sudden retirement. Sudden retirement amid controversy over ethics and stock trading. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan both announced their departures on Monday. What amazing timing, huh? They're going to leave the posts over scrutiny of their stock trading activities. Rosengren basically said, "Oh, it's my health. You know, I just want to. I'm going to take some time because I'm not feeling healthy. I'm not feeling healthy. I wouldn't feel healthy either if suddenly I had the scrutiny on me. But unfortunately, there's nothing illegal, really. I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen to them."
Yeah, what I mean, if they invested their private money, what would it matter? They're not a government elected official, so what does it matter at the end of the day?
They know that they can funnel millions of dollars to these companies and at the same time make stock investments in these companies that will benefit. Like, they know that Pfizer is going to be taken care of and propped up, so they invest in Pfizer.
Think about this. They basically are handed, they're handed our money, right? Our money with zero oversight. Zero. That's literally like me saying, okay, I have $1,000 and I want to invest it in something. And this guy's like, oh, just give it to me. You know, I'll do good with it. And then you give it to him and it's gone. It's just gone.
Yeah, I'll make it happen. I'll take care of it for you. You know, I'll put it up there. I happen to know that some of these companies are going to be receiving all sorts of money from the federal government. So that's probably a good investment. And what's wrong with that other than just like, hey, this looks bad. I saw over and over in these pieces I read on this today, multiple pieces from the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, et cetera. It's what they claim is that it's a bad public perception. It's a bad public perception.
It's only a bad public perception when they get caught, though.
Right. Yeah. So they only get it's only a problem if they get caught. That's it.
Right. Because this is how long you think this has
done anything wrong.
Yeah, and how long this stuff's been going on? There's no way this is the first, like, oh, well, this is the first time anybody at the Fed's ever done anything like this.
Yeah, this is new. This is totally new. This hasn't happened before. Oh, my God. Hey, we're going to get to the stimulus update here in a moment as this show continues to move along. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Headspace. Look, you need to spend some quiet time. I don't care if it's in prayer or meditation, whatever you want to do. But personally, I'm a big fan of that quiet time. I for years spent doing two meditations a day, each about 20 minutes apiece. I did actually study TM, which was transcendental meditation, but then other forms as well. But just sitting quietly, you know, it doesn't have to be anything kind of woo-hoo-y, whatever, just sitting quietly and calming your mind. And so Headspace is an amazing app that lets you pick from all kinds of different situational meditations. I mean, it's been downloaded over 60 million times, okay, this app.
It's a really clean and good experience app. It's one of the few apps that I'm like, where I like you download it and it just makes sense as you're going through it. And it's like really, like they walk you through setting it up and everything and what you're trying to do. It's a really well-made app.
Yeah. It's really clean and easy to use, and it's situational. So if you're not used to meditating, if you want to learn how to do it, they'll kind of teach you and do sort of walkthroughs. If you don't want any voiceovers at all, then you can do that as well. You just want to unwind for a little bit, take 5 minutes and breathe, refresh, or before bed. Maybe you have trouble sleeping, doing a meditation before bed is really, really good. And it tracks all of that. So, you know, it lets you know that you're on pace and you're going to notice a change. You're absolutely going to notice a change. I mean, the studies are overwhelming, by the way, that they've looked at this at school districts, lowering crime with meditation. It is lowering heart disease. Those studies are in. These are peer-reviewed studies that show that all of these things are improved by meditation. So Headspace, you deserve to feel happier. Headspace is a meditation made simple app. Go to headspace.com/invest right now to get a free month. Yeah, you get a free month. Just try it. That's headspace.com/invest for one free month trial and access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head over to headspace.com/invest right now and give it a shot. Get a full month free by using that URL. So our thanks to Headspace for sponsoring the show. This is one of my favorite meditation apps. It is actually the only one I use now. So I've been using it for a number of months, and I'm a huge fan of what they do. So they put a lot of work into this app. So thanks to Headspace for sponsoring the show. And by the way, you can tie it in with Apple's health app too. So you can track your meditations and you'll lower blood pressure, et cetera. Like all of those things you can track inside of the health app, and it ties right in with Headspace. If you're using iOS, it also works on Android, of course, but check them out. So our thanks to them. So you've been meditating. Have you been using it a lot?
Yeah, well, I used it a lot more last year. I was like really stressed out, and it helped like sleeping and stuff with insomnia. Yeah. I don't use it as much now because I've just been busy. You know how it gets. You get busy and out of your thing.
And that's the most important time when you're supposed to use it, right? You know?
I know. I definitely want to get back into it. I was actually just going through and cleaning out apps yesterday because I have a new phone coming, the iPhone 13. So I was cleaning out my apps and getting prepared for that. And I got on that one. I was like, I need to do that again. So I moved it to my home screen yesterday.
Smart. There you go. Yeah. When you start getting stressed, that's the best time to be able to do it.
Yep.
Cher Marie says, I need to meditate. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Like, once I started learning how to do it properly, you know, you think you know how to do it properly, and very often you don't. And that's why you need, like, I know it's not that complicated, but it really is. Like, it can be a little complicated. That's why you need like a little bit of a teacher to kind of kickstart that journey for you. Just lower your blood pressure and just feel better all around. It's a really important part of the day. So our thanks to them. All right. Let's give you your stimulus update now. So a lot of moving parts on the stimulus front. Negotiations this morning between Biden, Democrats, here's the Washington Post, intensifying as the $4 trillion agenda hits a stalemate. This just breaking about 7 minutes ago, this story. Right now, negotiations between the White House and Democratic lawmakers intensified Tuesday as President Biden scrambled to save roughly $4 trillion in economic initiatives from an embarrassing setback at the hands of his own party. That is a big picture of Kyrsten Sinema right there, the corrupt senator from Arizona. I'm not pulling any punches with her anymore. She's absolutely, taking all kinds of money from groups that are absolutely opposed to climate changes in the United States, lowering prescription drugs for Americans, expansion of Medicaid,
minimum wage.
This woman is corrupt. This woman, she's not even hiding it anymore. Like today, there's this article, the New York Times, reporting this. Sinema to raise money from business groups that oppose budget bill. As Sinema resists the budget bill, she's set to raise money from business groups. Five groups invited association members to an undisclosed location on Tuesday. So she went to this fundraiser yesterday to write checks for between $1 and $5,800 payable to Sinema. Literally, well, she's going to fundraise and they're just handing her checks.
Well, and think about it. You know why? Because there's no, like, there's no repercussions to anything she's done. Like, she just gets elevated every time she does something terrible, and she's like, wow, I can do all this stuff and I get more popular.
Yeah, perfect. This is how this is. This is what our friend Crystal Ball said. This woman is shameless. She doesn't even pretend to be doing anything other than preparing herself for post-Senate riches in the corporate world. Exactly right. She's not going to be senator for very much longer in Arizona. I mean, I can't imagine she would be. If you're in Arizona, please vote this woman out. But get ready for her to be a part of the corporate world next. She's taking all kinds of money from them, just as Crystal said. This woman is shameless. She doesn't even pretend to be doing anything other than preparing herself for the post-Senate riches in the corporate world.
Well, and as you say that, think about this. Mitch McConnell is still in office.
Well, true.
Because you're like, there's no way that guy's going to get it put back in there after everything he's done. Boom, back in there.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, you could go one of two ways, right? You can love power, which is what Mitch McConnell does. He loves power. And he does love politics, you know, and he loves the idea of remaking the courts and all of that. He certainly made millions of dollars off of corporate interests. So he's been, him and his whole family have been taken care of through corporate interests. And then you have others, people like Paul Ryan, who are House Speaker, and then they leave. They're like, I'm out of here. And they go into the corporate world. They go into consulting, where they can make a lot more money, and they don't have to deal with this crazy scrutiny. So we'll see. We'll see, you know, because she's not going to have the power of the Democratic side. Will she be welcomed with open arms on the Republican side, maybe? Who knows? Who knows? That's where we stand right now. But on the Bernie Sanders side, this is a point I want to bring to you now. Bernie Sanders right now on the stimulus front is leading the charge among progressives to vote against a stimulus package that doesn't include the $3.5 trillion plan. He's telling them to hold strong. He's telling them to hold strong. And so here was his tweet yesterday, or early this morning. He followed it up with this. He said, I strongly urge my House colleagues to vote against the bipartisan infrastructure bill until Congress passes a strong reconciliation bill. So this would be the $3.5 trillion plan. Now, you'll recall that right now, Nancy Pelosi has been saying, we can separate these things. We don't even have really a full framework yet on the $3.5 trillion plan, which could even include additional stimulus checks to the American people. It definitely would include an expansion of the child tax credit. It would include expansion of Medicare. It would cover vision, dental, hearing, all of those things, climate change provisions, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these things would be covered under this $3.5 trillion plan. And Bernie Sanders is saying, hold strong. Hold strong here. Don't vote for this thing. Don't vote for that bullcrap infrastructure bill, that bipartisan infrastructure bill over here.
Unless Mama Bear lectures you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, yeah, Nancy Pelosi's, that's what she did yesterday, was sort of lecture them. But Bernie is saying, hey, hold strong here. And he makes these points. He says, look, let's be crystal clear. If the bipartisan infrastructure bill is passed on its own on Thursday, this will be in violation of an agreement that was reached within the Democratic caucus in Congress. More importantly, it will end all leverage that we have to pass a major reconciliation bill. That means there will be no serious effort to address the long-neglected crises facing the working families of our country, the children, the elderly, the sick, and the poor. It also means that Congress will continue to ignore the existential threat to our country and planet with regard to climate change. He's right. He's right. 100% he is right. Because that other crappy bipartisan infrastructure bill that both parties got all excited about, I know you. Someone yelled at me, don't say the words wet kiss anymore, but that's all it is. It's a big wet kiss for big business and fossil
for those
fuel
of you
companies.
That, for those of you who don't like that, it's a big dry hump.
Dry hump. Yeah, it's a dry hump. Grover was dry humping my arm last night. I don't know why he does that. Like he, you know, he's whatever, he's neutered or fit, whatever the male version is, right? They still do that, you know?
My dog's female and she was humping my leg yesterday.
Well, Clark, I find it's just better to let him finish. I don't know what that means. Anyway, it's a dry hump. Yeah. Anyway, and thank you for watching the show, and you've got a sense of humor if you watch our show. I could never get away with that on mainstream media when I was a mainstream media guy. No, when you're bought and sold, when you're run by billionaire corporations, they'll cut you out of there. Because this is our own channel, I get to say whatever the hell I want. So right now you've got Bernie Sanders telling members of the Democratic caucus, hold firm. Hold, like Braveheart, hold. Don't do it. Don't give in to these guys. And now there are a couple like Pramaya Jayapal and others who are like, we're kind of on the fence. We don't know. We don't know if we're going to go along with this. We don't know what are we going to do. Hold strong or the Senate will tank Biden's agenda, he says. So they had a meeting yesterday to try to block any efforts to split the infrastructure bill away from the broader reconciliation package. Okay, so right now, they're in response to questions. You have Reps Raul Grijalva, I don't know how to say it, sorry. Sheila
Grijalva.
Jackson, Grijalva. They're on the fence right now. Then you have Ilhan Omar and others saying that they've been on the phone with Bernie Sanders. So he's been making phone calls, basically saying, Do not. And so we'll see. Senator Warren was asked about Bernie Sanders' position, and she says, we had a deal. So she's basically saying, no, we had a deal. Like, we're not going to go against this deal. All right. So you've got Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Pramila Jayapal. You have Ilhan Omar. You have others who are saying, hold the line. AOC, we already know, is holding the line on this. Good.
Khalid. Rokana. Yeah.
Rokana, exactly. So they're holding the line here, Braveheart style. Let's see if progressives actually draw a line in the sand this time in the face of this pressure, not only from Nancy Pelosi, but, you know, from Republicans and, of course, members of their own party, like Joe Manchin and others. And Kyrsten Sinema, who's busy taking money from big businesses. So I will say it's an interesting moment. Dan Sullivan yesterday. Do you remember this guy? You remember Dan Sullivan from Alaska? Remember Alaska's Senator Dan Sullivan? If you don't remember, let me refresh your memory on Dan Sullivan. He was a guy, of course, who in Arkansas, in Alaska, was up for re-election, and he's taken money from big oil companies and big mining companies. Remember this guy? This corrupt politician? Well, he had a pile of scandals that were piling up there in Alaska before he was re-elected once again. Remember the Pebble Mine controversy? We covered it here on the show. How many people in the chat? Yeah, Lisa saying the fracking guy. Well, it was mining. Yeah, mining, fracking. Any time these guys can just take money from these big energy companies, they will. So that's how he got reelected. Pebble Mine, those guys funneled money to his reelection campaign. Meanwhile, the people of Alaska didn't want this mine. They didn't want the environmental fallout from this mine, but he didn't listen to the people of Alaska. He went along with it anyway. Why? Because they paid him. He's a corrupt politician, as they all are. So Dan Sullivan had the balls yesterday to go on the Senate floor and pick on Bernie Sanders about this package, saying that this is just a big spending bill, big Democratic spending bill. And he accused Bernie Sanders of creating cradle-to-grave socialism. Which, like, what does that mean? Cradle-to-grave socialism. You know what? If you say that to me, hey, do you want to move to a country that will take care of you when you're a child and also take care of you when you're older? I say, yeah. But they paint it as cradle-to-grave socialism. So that what?
So that you can get through a pandemic with dignity?
Right. But no, David, that's cradle to grave socialism. You should be offended by this, right? Here's Dan Sullivan, the corrupt politician who takes money from big business.
Yeah, I want to talk about the need for transparency here in the U.S. Senate.
Oh, you want to talk? I'm sorry. I love how that's how you lead off your speech. I want to talk about the need for transparency here in the Senate. Meanwhile, when you were asked about the Pebble Mine donations in Alaska, you were mum about it. You didn't say a word about it. You went quiet about it. You wouldn't talk to reporters about it. But you want to lecture us about the need for transparency here in the Senate. That's rich.
More than ever, as the House and the Senate are moving with breakneck speed to pass one of the biggest, most reckless spending social bills in U.S. history, over $3.5 trillion, a spending spree that will be the largest in a generation, which will include the largest tax hike that we've seen in peacetime.
Oh, we're in peacetime.
What? Oh, that's right. I forgot. Biden said we're no longer at war.
Yeah, we're no longer at war, apparently. So I guess the nine countries that we're currently bombing, that's peaceful, right? We're in peacetime. Well, FYI.
You spread democracy peacefully, Clayton.
Right. We're a force for good. We'll stick our boot up your ass peacefully.
For good. And you'll like it. Or we'll send more bombs.
Or we'll stick more boots up your ass.
And something that the majority leader himself has called the largest transformation in a generation.
Oh, my God. How bad would that be that we would transform our crappy country? United States is collapsing. Collapsing.
Well, don't you find it funny? Like, this is the most we've spent in a generation. But look at where money is right now. Of course it's going to be more. We're not dealing with the 70s economy anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's a total, I mean, yeah, 20 years. We haven't, what is he even talking about? What have we spent in any, I mean, when's the last time we spent any kind of money to help remake our society?
Well, nation building. I mean,
yeah, in other countries. We've certainly, it's okay for us, Dan Sullivan, by the way, who voted for it, for us to spend $2 trillion in Afghanistan, but you can't build it here. You can't do it here.
Well, and just recently, the hundreds of billions that are going to Israel for their defense, and they're a rich nation, and we're sending them our money.
I'm sure he voted for the Iron Dome project in Israel for $1 billion to help them shore up their missile defense.
Of course he did.
Which, by the way, like I said, you were out, but I spoke to a friend of mine who is very plugged in Israel, who worked for the government, and said, you know, during the bombings and everything that was happening in the spring in Israel when they were having the attacks, and he's like, the Iron Dome was going off. He's like, it worked flawlessly. He's like, every night we were just out on our balconies watching like these missiles being shot down by the Iron Dome. It works flawlessly. So they're now part of this spending package, now part of like what Republicans want to pass and Democrats too, this Iron Dome project for $1 billion to shore up their Iron Dome. It works already. Why are we sending them another $1 billion for this?
Well, and why are we sending them money anyway when they're one of the richest nations next to us?
Don't ask questions, David.
Mr. President, this is trying to transform America.
We don't want that, right? Because America's great right now. You're all doing great. You don't pay enough for prescription drugs. You should pay more.
Cradle to grave socialism, but don't take my word for it. Here's the way the New York Times described this $3.5 trillion reckless spending bill from the House coming to the Senate. It's, quote, legislation that would touch virtually every American's life from conception to age and infirmity, from cradle to grave. That's the New York Times.
Is that bad? So here's an idea. We just shouldn't, government shouldn't care for you when you're old. How about that? It'll just be from cradle. Okay, cradle to middle age, and then you screw you for the rest of your life. Or the opposite. When you're young, government shouldn't care for you at all and take and provide for, to make sure that a family is taken care of in this country. And that we only care about you when you're dying. How about that? So forget cradle, how about just grave? We'll pay for your funeral services. Like, I love these people are trying to paint that this is bad. That a government would actually provide for its people and provide a safety net for its people. That's socialism. But I'm Dan Sullivan. I take money from big oil and gas and fracking companies and screw over the environment in my own backyard, even though the people of Alaska don't even want it, but they're paying me. So that's the kind of politician I am.
Some people would call that humanitarian. I would.
Exactly. Cradle to grave. Oh, hey. Look at the Nordic countries taking care of people. Why do they have the highest life expectancy and happiness meters in the world? Because they're taken care of.
Well, and
I love that this guy is going to get up there and lecture us about climate change. He's going to lecture Bernie Sanders about climate change legislation in this $3.5 trillion package from a guy that makes his money off of big energy companies that are absolutely opposed to climate change legislation.
I was going to say, put the United States on a list next to any Nordic country with from education down to economy, everything, and look at where we are with them. Like, they're at the top of everything. We're at the bottom of everything.
Yeah. The corruption. The corruption, the double standards. So he took 20 minutes to get on the Senate floor yesterday. To go after Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, again, strongly urging House colleagues to vote against the bipartisan infrastructure bill until Congress passes the reconciliation bill, saying that the bipartisan infrastructure bill is passed on its own on Thursday. This will be in violation of agreement that was reached within the Democratic caucus in Congress. More importantly, it will end all leverage that we have to pass a major reconciliation bill. There will be no serious effort to address neglected crises facing the working families of our country, children, the elderly, the sick and the poor, and climate change. cradle-to-grave socialism.
This is him basically, like, going against Pelosi, right? Like, this is him going right in her face.
Yes. Yes. And President Biden. You know, if Nancy Pelosi wants to try to decouple these two bills, which she did yesterday or 2 days ago, saying that, you know, we're not ready for the $3.5 trillion. It's ridiculous for us to wait for it because it's not done yet. It's not even written. It's not even ready. So we need to move forward with the bipartisan bill. We'll see who wins this battle. We'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this. Meanwhile, I want to talk about Kristi Noem. You know Kristi Noem, don't you?
I don't.
How many of you guys know Kristi Noem? Can you name?
Not New Mexico, North Dakota or South Dakota governor?
South Dakota. Ding, 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 ding. Well, she's under fire this morning because of some abuse of office problems. So I don't know if you know this, but Kristi Noem's daughter was rejected. She was rejected for a real estate appraiser's license. By the way, let me just say this. Who the hell wants to be a real estate appraiser? Like, I've made fun of that on this show for a long time. We're moving to computer systems, right? There's no young person is going to college and then coming out and saying, you know, I'm going to college to become a real estate appraiser. I mean, talk about an industry that is completely dying because it's all going digital. Like, there's no young people are becoming real estate appraisers. But apparently Kristi Noem's daughter tried to. Like, I mean, this is a profession that is literally drying up and going. Even commercial property, they don't even use human beings anymore for real estate appraisals. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Don't get me started against appraisals. I think they're ridiculous, totally subjective, and they're garbage.
Well, I was going to say, it's just a way to manipulate things.
Oh, yeah, and think about the manipulation that happened in 2008, you know? Like, yeah. The bank would be like, hey, John, go and appraise that property. We got an offer on that property for $1.2 million. And the appraiser's like, oh, okay, well, I know it sold like a month ago for $200,000. I'm sure it's now worth $1.2 million. Sure. I mean, yeah. Talk about corruption, by the way. So anyway, her daughter, Kristi Noem's daughter, went to get her appraisal license and was rejected from the licensing. She didn't get it. So then what does Kristi Noem do? The governor of South Dakota calls the head of the agency, the government agency, says, come to my office. Come to my office. And asks her to change, or asks the head of the agency to change their decision. Hey, my daughter was rejected for this position, and I'd like you to change that because she's my daughter. What would you call that? I would call that an abuse of office, right?
I made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
I invited him to my office. I said, look, my daughter, you know, not too bright. She wants to become a real estate appraiser, okay? No one wants to become a real estate appraiser, let's be honest, right? So she applies to become a real estate appraiser, and then she gets rejected. What happened there? What happened? So, for instance, not only did she haul the agency head in front of her office, but also her supervisor and labor secretary she brought to the office to change her mind. And then a week later, she fired her. Oh, really? Then, because they complained, the head of the agency complained that she was fired after this. The official complaint, which was later withdrawn, after South Dakota gave her $200,000 in hush money in a settlement. This is according to the Associated Press that did the investigation in this. So, case in point, let me just read the Associated Press tear sheet here.
That's like Godfather level stuff right there.
Exactly. You know, and I love how they pointed out here, case in point, just how bad things are in South Dakota right now. You remember their attorney general who killed a pedestrian and then drove away from the scene? And then his only punishment was a small fine. By the way, he's still attorney general, by the way. Okay. So your attorney general in South Dakota killed someone, drove away from the scene and only got slapped with a small fine. If you did that, would that be your punishment? No. The answer is no, by the way. It wasn't a really rhetorical question, but according to the Associated Press, just days after a South Dakota agency moved to deny her daughter's application to become a certified real estate appraiser, Governor Kristi Noem summoned to her office the state employee who ran the agency, the woman's direct supervisor, and the state labor secretary. Noem's daughter came too. By the way, if you're that daughter, Cassidy Peters, 26 years old, you'd be like, Mom, there's no way. No, I'm not coming to you. No, Mom. Like, that would be my response. Like, no, Mom. No, 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 no. 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 Honey, you're coming. We're going to get you this job because I'm Governor Kristi Noem. I'm going to abuse my office. You're going to watch me abuse them. Watch this. So she comes. And then guess what? Cassidy Peters somehow suddenly got her certification. Wow. Somehow just after her mother's meeting in the office. And then a week after that, the labor secretary called the agency, Sherry Breen, to demand her retirement. Huh. Interesting.
So, and think about that. Like, are you ever going to have the respect of any of the employees there if you ever got into some kind of leadership position within that, within there? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be like, oh, Mommy got you the job. Like, everybody's thinking that in the back of their head. The only way you got this is because of your mom. Mm-hmm. Like, that girl's career is, like, at that point, meaningless because she didn't do it on her own merit.
It's like the college admission scandal, isn't it?
Exactly.
All of these like rich Hollywood people. The reason that people were so fascinated by that story is just because it just speaks to all of the worst stereotypes of rich people, right? Like that they could just get away with this stuff. They could just spend money, buy their daughters into Stanford by pretending that they're water polo players. We're going to superimpose them holding the ball above the water, 4 feet above the water, you know, like, and now you ruin these kids, you know, ruin these kids' lives. And I don't know how many of these kids knew about it or not, but you know, she certainly knew about it. She went into the office with her mom for this meeting. And then Kristi Noem tweets, listen, I get it. I signed up for this job, but now the media is trying to destroy my children. This story is just another example of the double standard that exists with the media, going after conservatives and their kids while ignoring liberals. Okay, so what a way to distract, you know? So no, you know, no culpability at all, no sense of awareness. Let's just blame liberals. It's like the Trump line, you know? This is just a witch hunt. Okay. Never mind the fact that you actually did do these things. Just a witch hunt.
Yeah, there just happens to be a paper trail.
Right. There happens to be a paper trail. There happens to be people in this office. There happens to be $200,000 in gag money paid to this person after they were fired. Presumably, maybe for not even going along with it. But they're all Republicans. The whole state is run by Republicans. So you can't get away with blaming this on liberals, by the way. Now, maybe you could get away with, in fairness, you could get away with saying, hey, the Associated Press is just out for me, a conservative. Maybe you could argue that. Maybe. I did a little digging to see when the Associated Press has covered the Hunter Biden story. And the last Hunter Biden story that I could find on the Associated Press's website happened in December of 2020. There's been quite a few developments in that story since then. Why hasn't the Associated Press covered that story? That's just one, you know, but that has nothing to do with Kristi Noem, right? Like the fact that you abused your office to get your daughter a job has nothing to do with Hunter Biden. Is there a double standard in the media? 100% there is. Does it have anything to do with you abusing your office and getting your daughter a job? Has nothing to do with it. You did wrong. You abused your office. Stop blaming other people. Frankly, she should retire. She should quit. She should resign.
Well, and think about it. At the end of the day, somebody that would do that, that would use that power to get somebody in office, think of what they did, the abuse they would use to get themselves into office. You know, and it's not right. Like this is going to be the first time. It's like, oh, this is the only corrupt thing I've ever done.
Right. Yeah, this is the first, by the way, the only time I was caught.
Right. That's what right? It always is.
You know, and by the way, how was she caught? Clearly, it had probably had something to do with the fact that this person in the office, one of the office who didn't want to do it, got fired and was pushed out of office. Just some sort of disgruntled employee who then actually broke the story. Because these are all Republicans.
Yeah, let's see how many checks have been written to individuals for hush money. Like, if there's one, probably going to be more.
Yeah. So you have an attorney general there in, like Lady Manso says, yeah, Joe Manchin bought his daughter an MBA. Yeah, we've covered that here on the show. And that's been covered, by the way. That's what these people do. Like nepotism, you know, this nepotism. And you want to lecture other people about entitlements. And you abuse your office. What other people, you know, talk about, you know, you try to pretend that you're all egalitarian, you know, that you care about other people, that you want equity in the system. You know, the little guy. And then you abuse your office. What other person has someone in their back like that, a governor who can literally just go in and say, and haul the head of that agency into their office, threaten them? My daughter here, she's 26. She wants to be a real estate appraiser.
Well, and I'll argue that any of these senators, Congress, or whatever, that take any kind of lobby money, they are corrupt if they don't care about people. And I bring this up all the time and I catch hell for it, but like Ron Paul, I use him as an example because we always talk about the $30,000 furniture budget on this show and how they get that as a Congress or Senate for their office. Well, Ron Paul always gave that money back at the end of the year. He never used it because that was the people's money. He could not justify using that money. So if you look at any of these people that take any, even a dollar from lobbyists, they are corrupt and all of them do it.
Yeah, because how can you say that you won't curry favor for these companies? Like if you take money from Google, if you take money from Apple, if you take money from big oil companies, big energy companies, you know, if you're Kyrsten Sinema, who's taken money from all of these big businesses, these business groups, all of it, how can you then look me straight in the face and say that you, when the time push comes to shove and these businesses need an ally, you're not going to be there? That's why they spend the money, because they know it works. Money pays, right? Money works. You know, writing checks for $5,000 to Kyrsten Sinema, it works.
Right. You're paying for a service. It's not like they're just like, I really like this person. I really like their values. And I just really feel like they're a good politician and I want to support them. So here's some money towards, I don't know, just go get your kids some ice cream. You know, no, it's like they want something out of you or you're not getting a dime from them.
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
No.
You know, you'll learn that, something I'd love to teach to my children. But, you know, someone wants to take you out to lunch, like a business partner wants to, like, hey, you know, let's get to lunch. I want to go. I have a couple ideas I want to run by you. Right. There's no such thing as a free lunch because that person's going to be calling you for the next 2 years.
Well,
asking you to look at his or her project. You know,
they kind of do get a free lunch when you talk about grassroots donations. The donations that come from us, that's basically free lunch because we don't get anything out of our investments ever.
Right. $5 here, $5 there. Well, sometimes it does. We actually get politicians put in there who aren't bought and sold by big businesses. And so, you know, but they're very few and far between.
Yeah.
So, you know, interesting to see. What happens here. See if Kristi Noem decides to resign for abuse of office. And, again, she has a whole Republican state. She has a whole Republican state legislature and everything. So, you know, will they force her out? Doubtful, but we'll see. We'll see. Kyrsten Sinema be pushed out? Doubtful, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Just turn on the little, hit the little subscribe button, and then smash that little bell notification too, so you'll be notified when we go live. We're here every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. MorningInvest.com is a place to go. All right, everyone. We'll see you mañana. Peace out, everyone.
See you tomorrow.